That is Brandi Carlile and the story here on Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. And I would guess that a few stories might be able to be heard from the road by Bruce Morser and Bob Horsley as they join us from somewhere in North Dakota.
I would say from the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Good morning.
In the middle of America. Good morning, guys.
Yes, good morning.
Hi. In fact, Bob and I are standing out in a cornfield yelling out our own story this morning, just like Brandi.
We pulled off the side of the road and we're sitting under a big poplar tree with probably the lone tree for miles around.
I was going to say, there's a tree there? My gosh.
Yeah, we found a tree.
There is a tree. In fact, when we were leaving our destination from yesterday, Pelican Rapids is where we left yesterday, and the Warm Showers couple that helped us out with a free night's lodging said that you go down the road 6 miles and then take a left at the tree.
Yep, that's a North Dakota direction.
We saw
all right.
The tree immediately leaving town.
It was pretty clear which tree she was on. It was the only tree she was there to even talk about.
Could you see it from about 2 miles away? It was like...
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Just past the sunflower seed silo.
this is spectacular countryside. It's very much thrilling. To me, it's sort of like Bob and I have talked about it. It's like riding across the ocean, where you get that expansive feeling like we're just out here somewhere. It's wonderful.
Really, just watch out for scurvy.
Ever since we left the Minnesota Lake District, it feels like we've been sort of lifting on a tilt all the way up to the high plains that I don't think we're there yet. But,
so you're going uphill?
It's just a slight tilt. But, and in fact, you look at the maps, and I think the elevation change is a good 1,000+ feet.
You get 1,000 feet in about less than 300 miles.
1,000 feet in 300 miles.
Yeah.
I've done more than that in a half an hour.
The eastern half of North Dakota. Yeah. You could spend a lifetime trying to get a passport to Payne done out there.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Yeah. So now you're past halfway. Does it feel different?
We are.
The official weekly mileage count
to
right now, we've got 2,408.9 miles. And another, maybe a more interesting statistic this morning is 600 miles about since we last spoke with you, which that was pretty good mileage for a week's work.
Yeah.
And, shortly after we last spoke to you, we actually bumped into another rider that was coming from the West Coast, and he was clocking in close, right at 2,000 miles within a day or two of us clocking in at 2,000 miles, and he was coming from the other direction, so it was amazing that we were clocking that in together.
So that's sort of like, what is that, the transitive property or something? Or the equalities of distances or something? But if you're both going, you've gone the same distance, and you've come from exactly 180 degree opposite directions, you're halfway.
Yeah,
it seems like the more desolate the area is, the more welcoming the people. Everybody here knows about bicyclers coming along the Northern Tier route, and everybody's been really welcoming. And it seems like also we're one of the first, if not the first. There's a Norwegian pair of guys that are about a month ahead of us. But I think other than that, 2 months ahead. But other than that, I think we're the first that are heading east to west.
They're 2 months ahead of you?
I don't know how they did this. They must be freezing.
Maybe they started in Mexico.
They mailed their long johns home. They're going the same way we are going.
They're Norwegian. They're accustomed to cold, I guess.
Bob makes a good point that these towns, the last two towns, I think, have been my favorite towns. And they're not dramatically cute or that sort of thing, but they really have this look of big open streets, incredibly friendly. We're just walking around in the town, and people are waving at us and rolling their window down. And every place we go into to eat, we make immediate friends with folks. Very much sort of toughened old-time farmers will just pull up the booth next to us and just say, "Where are you going? And what are you doing that for?"
And typically, the waitresses have got little booklets they want us to sign. They have bicyclers sign their books and put the dates and little notes in there.
So they're like bike groupies?
Yeah, they're bike groupies.
That's just it. Yeah, you got it. So after the last time we spoke with you,
yeah,
it was great. We were sort of blowing the same tune we are today. I mean, the world is great right now. It's, you know, beautiful skies, decent temperature, a side wind, but not bad at all. It's really, this is lovely, and no hills to be seen of, really. And so we were sort of saying the same thing last time we spoke with you after leaving the Hatteries, and it all seemed glorious. And about 10 miles after that, Bob's rear derailleur gave it up, and we ended up sort of scrambling and toughing it out and locking him into a single rear gear. And it was a bit of a challenging day, but it led to a wonderful time the town of Winona, where we just happened again across a bike shop with an extremely knowledgeable mechanic who really saved the day for us.
And we had another warm showers experience that night. It was our second one with a couple. We actually called them. We had two calls. This is our routine. Every morning or every evening, we figure out, okay, where are we staying tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm.
And that particular day, we had already lined up a motel, but it was kind of questionable. And as we were heading into Winona, and we were working on the bike, we checked into Warm Showers, and there was this Warm Showers in Winona. So we gave them a call, and they took us in. When we rolled into town, my gosh, they fed us. As soon as we walked into the backyard, they said, dinner's on the table.
Oh.
Yeah, they had a picnic table in the back, and they actually had another biker from Iowa State. He was a student from Iowa State. He had just arrived, so they had taken in three bikers with a 4-hour notice and served them dinner, and we stayed with them the night, and they served us breakfast the next morning. It was a pretty amazing experience. It was awesome.
Tell us warm showers thing is. You've referred to it a couple of times, but
it changes our, these are folks that are changing our expectation around what generosity and trust is all about. Warm Showers is a nationwide organization, quite a bit like Couchsurfer, and you become a member and you offer up your place as a ride-by kind of residence on the fly. And then you are eligible to stay at other members' places. And Bob and I both offered up our lodgings on this site. It's kind of like, yeah, I mean, they kind of say,
you can't put our backyard.
Right. It's a, you know, it's a warm shower and so on. But everywhere we go, people are offering us beds and meals. And when we get home, we have to change our profiles. We realize that this is all about generosity. And when we talk to these folks who do it, they all say the same thing. They all say that the reason they do it is because they kind of like this idea of trusting everybody else. And I get it. It's infectious.
And we had another, we actually had a third warm showers experience two nights ago in Pelican Rapids. And it was a young couple, and they took us in. And again, they served us breakfast and gave us a bedroom and a couch in the living room, and they were really nice folks. And and part of the magic of it was just sitting down and talking to them and sort of learning about the local area and getting to know them. But it was really part of the experience that we're doing is sort of getting to know the local area through the locals. Really,
I think what you really get out of this too, at least I know Bob's getting this and I'm getting this, is if you've been a while since you've, you know, had connection with your pet, or it's been a while since you've had a pet, you go there so that you can play with the family dog.
They've all got dogs.
I'm going to feed this line to
get
Bob.
Your affection hit.
So we had an awesome experience there. Bob mentioned there was a second guy, young guy, who was actually a landscape architect student, who was there, and he started riding with us the next day and going on and on. We started just trading, our distances and so on, and he rode with us for many, many, many miles and tough miles. And this young guy, what did he tell us, Bob?
Well, we were actually sitting in a diner with him, and we had just, you know, we were pretty tired, and we were sitting down for our second breakfast. And this guy looks up to us and goes, "You guys are badass." We said, What?
Us?
He just shook his head. So Bruce and I just tucked that one away.
Yeah.
So on tough days, we just look at each other and go, we're badass.
Yeah, there you go.
So we waited about 20 miles, and we just dropped them like so much used Kleenex.
That begs my next question, which is, how are your asses doing?
Are they bad?
Yeah, that's not the problem.
Oh, that's lucky.
You get little kind of pains and tweaks, and you learn to kind of, you stand for a while, you sit for a while, you shift. Your hands go numb. That's mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest problem, yeah, is you start to get repeat numb hands. But all that works out.
We both have arrow bars on the bike, Bruce had ridden with them before this trip, but this is the first experience I've had with them. But they are lifesavers, because what you can do is you can stretch out and sort of hold on you can lengthen your body out, and it's really like sitting in a Barca lounger. You know, it's just it's relaxed, and you can relax your whole body that way.
The pain of any one thing is not the significant part. The part that is, you very sort of subtly get worn out. You don't realize how worn out you're getting. So I got to relate this story to you. Probably, I think the toughest day we ever had, which was the day that we said goodbye to Austin and the young kid who thought we were impressive. And we had an extremely hard last 20 miles with big, big hills, really hot weather, brutal. And we finally fight our way up to the top of this hill to where the lodging was we were going to stay. And we pulled into this godforsaken, just not a very nice motel. And we're standing in... Bob is utterly losing it. And he is
just hanging on.
And the woman is going on and on and on. And she's telling some story about how the back of her cat no longer had hair, or, you know, something is absolutely terrible. And Bob is starting to stretch out. He is literally reclining on her desk, and she stops. And she looks at us, and her line is, "Am I boring you?"
And so I said, "No, you know, I'm just tired." And so I backed up, and I sat down, and then I ended up laying down on a couch. And then she just continued her story.
She said, "Now wait a minute. Now where was I in the story? I just got it rolling again."
That's all part of that plains mentality.
And it's wonderful. It's just the generosity and the friendliness is just unbeatable. That kind of stuff is fantastic.
That's great. And here's a question about how you ride. I mean, you have these long stretches. I remember last week when we talked, you said that you would go for really long stretches without even being passed by a car.
That's because we're badass.
Yes, that's why. But do you guys generally ride single file, or when there's no traffic, do you ride two abreast?
If there's no traffic, we just ride two abreast. And we don't talk that much, so there's not that much to say, but we tend to ride two abreast, or if there's any traffic at all or on traveled roads, we draft the entire time. Mm-hmm. One of us is pulling, and typically the person in the front is, well, maybe 50% of the time down on the aero bars, and it just makes it easier. The person behind really gets to relax and look around and suck in all the scenery. So that's very nice.
And so that's typically, I don't know, 1 mile a piece that you just sort of take turns at about 1 mile a piece, and then you pull off, and the other guy pulls up, and so we just alternate like that.
Pretty
much all day. That's what we're doing now, especially where we are now, because we're on a road, and sort of taking advantage of some drafting really makes a big difference.
How far behind the first rider does the second rider ride to get that effect?
You don't really see their full rear tire. The typically your aero bars, I mean, that's, I actually use a gauge where I notice that I don't need to see his whole rear tire, but I would say it's a foot to 3 feet behind.
And, you know, this is different, too, depending on the road conditions, because the road conditions can change in a wink. And if there's a lot of cracks and divots and obstructions on the road that you really need to keep an eye out for, you don't want to ride too close to the person in front of you, because you don't have enough of a warning to before you're going to hit it. So typically then you pull off. So every road condition demands sort of a different riding style.
We're visiting with Bruce Morse and Bob Horsley, who are cycling across the country. This is our sixth conversation, I believe, along the way. Yeah, and you are past halfway now, and I was just wondering if there is any kind of, now you've hit a long stretch of flat or gentle rise, you know that you're going to be able to make a lot of miles, and you're beyond halfway. Does that have any kind of Is there a psychological effect to that? Does it feel like you're getting close to home? You're like in the West now. You know,
to me, just because of the big open stretches of land here that you can see a bigger distance, it feels like we are actually heading west now to me.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel a little more insignificant as far as the landscape goes. You feel like you're just a little ant crawling across a big globe.
Right? One of the goals I had for this trip was very much to get away from thinking so much and just being kind of more of this big sense of awareness of where I was. And this really gets to that, because the options for staying at places are pretty minimal, and the options for eating are pretty obvious, and it's just rolling along, and there's not much to think about, and it's just this sense of floating in awareness. It's great. It's really, really nice. And I don't, if anything, I'm beginning to get the sense of like, uh-oh, this trip has an end. You mean this is going to end at some point? And that's not like a good feeling. I like the state we're in, and not eager to see it end.
You mean North Dakota?
Yeah, yeah. Or whatever comes next. I should relate.
That'd be Montana.
Montana's good too. Let me give you a picture image of. We spent 100 miles rolling down the Lake Wobegon Trail and another rail-based trail next to it. And we never got confirmation, but it's probably Wobegon based on Garrison Keillor as opposed to Garrison Keillor taking that name. But it was 100 miles of absolutely perfect paved trail, 10 feet wide to 14 feet wide. And I've never in my life spent 3 hours straight on the aero bars. And most of the time, Bob was either right next to me, 20 feet ahead, 20 feet behind, and just floating.
Idyllic riding. It was just incredible. And the landscape was amazing.
So one morning we stopped, and to kind of try to quickly paint a picture of this whole thing, it's bright sun, the perfect little puffy clouds in the sky, and what looked like English countryside in the distance off across one of the many giant wetlands. And so we stopped in the shade of a tree and got our chairs out and our paint sets out. We're painting yet another picture, our daily picture. And it was just magical to sit there in the dead silence. Occasionally someone would bicycle by and you could hear the bullfrogs kind of rung, rung in the background and all these different bird noises. And it was just the most idyllic thing. And then on the very distant, you could hear wafting over the meadows. What was that song?
Teenage Wasteland. It was pretty perfect, you know? with the bullfrogs with a little bit of a backbeat.
Oh, nice, nice.
It was just, you know, an hour and a half of just sitting there doing a painting and sort of flashbacks to the Who's Teenage Wasteland. It was just kind of magical.
Yeah.
So you've been keeping up with the painting pretty well?
We have. Yeah. A lot of days we're not able to stop and do the painting, but we're taking a lot of photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're doing is that evening when we get to the motel or wherever we're staying, is we'll look at the photographs and paint from the photographs. So we're doing a fair amount as well.
Yeah, about every other day. I mean, some of these, like, when it's blowing a gale and it's, you know, 95 degrees out and there's no shoulder, there's no way to paint.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to pull over your shoulder and paint.
Right. Yeah. We have painted in restaurants before. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
And that's not beyond the whole thing, but it's we're trying not to do that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you have, along the way, as you realize, okay, we are past halfway, and this is going to have an end to it eventually, have you started even imagining other, do you want to do this again? Do you think about possibly doing a different kind of ride?
I haven't. I'm you know what I'm thinking about typically, Jeff?
Uh-huh.
When I'm in the middle of a ride, is I'm thinking about the Nutty Buddy at the next convenience store.
You are being there now.
Those are my epiphanies right now.
It turns out that Bob and I have both disclosed to each other a real affinity for Nutty Buddy. And we have found the ultimate Nutty Buddy, too, which is we're going to bring this to Vashon. I actually looked up the website, and there is, I'm going to get the thrift way to supply these are the ultimate little pre-processed ice cream cones. So I agree with you. There's not you're trying to hook this post-ride theme. I am just not there.
Yeah.
I start to think about, oh yeah, back in the island, and then no.
You got a long way to go.
No. Yeah. It's idyllic what we're doing in terms of the whole train of thought that goes through it, but we're having to focus pretty intently the whole time we're riding also. So it's not like we're, you know, our minds are straying and we're just, you know, daydreaming the whole day. It's like, you know, you're sort of on it as far as the riding all day long. So
I think the farthest we've gotten to it is we do talk about, like, well, how do we actually get to Vashon? And we talked about, do we ride through Seattle, or maybe we take the ferry over to Port Townsend and then ride down that side? It's about the same distance. So that's about, we kind of like picture that, and maybe we'll do the front wheel dip at Jensen Point.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I haven't even thought about the ride from Jensen Point back to each of our separate houses. Sort of seems to be too far off.
Yeah, that's a long way off. But you're going to be home before the solar eclipse, right?
Yes.
Just double checking.
You don't know. I woke up this morning to start a perfect day, and my tire was already flat, just, you know, on the bike, you know, next to me in bed. So it's, all right, you don't know. Things break, stuff happens, so we're not counting any chickens. But so far, it seems like that. We're still aiming to be there before 4th of July.
Well, but I think just getting this far, you know, we are, for the first time, even talking about this sort of thing, you know. As far as the
you might not believe this would be possible, too. I was just looking at my note here. And one of the things I was going to mention is, at the end of these, you know, yesterday was another 85, 90 mile day, and really, really hot, difficult conditions, headwind. And we get to these little towns, and we get off the bike, and it's like two Frankensteins walking around.
So food was about a mile or two back down the road. And we don't want to get back on our bikes. So we put our shoes on, and we literally we're like two sticks walking down the road. the knees do not want to be just like
a couple of cowboys bow-legged down the street.
Well, not so much that, but if you remember the Monty Python, the twit race, it looks a lot like that.
Okay, I've got a picture now.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Well, it just sounds like a fantastic adventure. We've so enjoyed these updates, and I also appreciate what you're doing for our growth in listeners. Every week after we do one of these things, I get several emails from people I don't even know who are asking me to ask you questions. So I think a lot of the Passport to Pain community is following along and really enjoying the accounts of your ride. So
if you keep calling, we'll keep talking.
Okay, excellent. Well,
I think you keep talking for an hour after we call, frankly.
Okay, you're right.
Well, we're enjoying these, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll be check back in with you at 9 o'clock week from today, and have a good one out there. You're heading for Gackle, North Dakota, population 297. So
That's going to have a great motel.
Well, it's not a motel. It's the Honey Hub, which is like a hostel for just bicyclists. So we'll report in. That'll be the start of the report next week.
Excellent.
Have a good ride.
Take care, you guys.
I'll see you next week.
All right, see you.
Bye, guys.